broken strings, stood on the boards again. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Soon he's coming back to welcome me, for beyond the starry sky. I shall wing my flight to worlds unknown, I shall reign with him on high. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son. Who yielded his life and atonement for sin.
I appreciate Landon filling in and Dwayne's filling in up here as well while Brother David and CJ have gone on vacation, taking a little bit of time off. And while they're away, I'm going to say this right now while David's away. I said when he's here, he'll think I like him, and I don't want that. Guys, just take a moment and think about all the things David does around here week in and week out. Look at the landscape first thing you see when you pull up. He takes care of all of that, and not beyond just being a great preacher and taking care of our Sunday night messages. He's a great song leader. He just works his tail off around here. And so, guys, take time to appreciate him when he gets back, he and CJ. Again, we're blessed to have lots of good people that can fill in while he's gone. But as a pastor, and he's my right-hand man, he's been with us for 15 years now. It's almost like having a co-pastor, and I just want to make sure everybody understands how valuable David Jenkins is to us, okay? And so pray for he and CJ. They've gone to Kentucky and Tennessee. They're going to get to go see the Big Ark. I think that's in Kentucky. Going to meet the grandkids and kids there at that, and so keep them in your prayers. Also do want to mention a couple of people for prayer. Joanne Roberts came home from the hospital. She's doing better, making some improvement. Keep her in your prayers. And then Treva Havens had her surgery, waiting on some pathology report from that in the next couple of days, hopefully. And so keep that in your prayers as well, okay? So glad you're here. Welcome our visitors. Thank you for coming to Bible Baptist this morning. We want you to feel at home, and we want to tell you how important it is to us that you know you're welcome here at Bible Baptist anytime, okay? We'll go to the Lord in a word of prayer, and then we'll get right back to the singing. By the way, Geraldine and Ray Griggs have 62 years of marriage under their belt today. And so we congratulate them, okay? All right. Ray, will you lead us in prayer, please?
Be seated.
To you, the master shaking crumble. At your name, the ocean tore and tumbled. At your name, angels will bow, the earth will rejoice, your people cry. Shout your name, filling up the skies within this praise, Yahweh, Yahweh. We love to shout your name, O Lord. Let your name, the mighty and great in glory. Let your name, Christians, angels, and me. At your name, angels will bow, the earth will rejoice, your people cry out. Lord of all the earth, we shout your name, filling up the skies within this praise, Yahweh, Yahweh. We want to shout your name, O Lord. Lord of all, we shout your name, filling up the skies within this praise, Yahweh, Yahweh. We love to shout your name, O
crucified, laid behind
lifted and alone like a rose and put on the ground. You took the floor and thought of me above all like a rose trampled on the ground. You took the floor and thought of me above all.
Let's pray together. Father, you're good to us, and we thank you this morning, Lord God, that we can be in your house as your people. Father, to be able to have your word in our hands and to learn from you this morning. And we've already had such a great Sunday school hour. And Lord, we see so many faces here. And so we see new faces. We see return visitors. And God, we give you thanks for that. I thank you, Lord God, that you give us a sort of church, Lord, that is always having making new acquaintances and having new people show up to worship with us. And I pray that you'll bless each and every one of them. Father, there are a lot of children being taught in the back, and those classes are so important. Pray that you'll bless their learning of your word as well. God, for the next few moments, let us put our minds and our lives in neutral and get still, get our minds cleared, and listen to your word. And I just pray, Holy Spirit, that you would anoint me to communicate the word of God and give me clear thinking, clear speech. And Lord, we do ask that you'll bless those that are away. We have a host of people throughout the summer. There's always so many people gone and traveling. And I ask God that you'll bless and protect each one and bring them back safely. Bless David and CJ, Lord. Let them have a refreshing time with kids and grandkids. And we thank you for their ministry here. Thank you, Lord, for all the hard work that goes into the music program and all the various things that David does for us here in your house. And truly, we are blessed to have him. I ask that you would just refresh he and CJ. God, now again, over the next few moments, we want you to be blessed. We want you to receive our presence here this morning as worship. We want you to be blessed and pleased by the praise songs that we just lifted up to you. And Father, we want you to be blessed and pleased by our prayers this morning. And so we ask, Lord Jesus, that you'll meet with us, touch our hearts, speak to us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, if you'll turn in your Bible to Joel chapter 1. Joel chapter 1. And I will say to you, if you guys will help me out and do the best you can to be faithful to God's house during the summer months, we are, you know, our attendance just dropped so low. Because so many people are moving about the world and traveling and vacationing and this sort of thing. So for those of us that aren't on vacation, if we'll be in our spot, it won't be too drastic. And then when it comes our turn to be gone, we'll trust that others will do the same thing. And come this fall, business will pick up again, okay, as it always does. Joel chapter 1, how many of you remember the song Wasted Days and Wasted Nights? All the old people. because it finds its roots back in the 60s. Freddie Fender, if you'll remember. Man, he had more hair than he had anything. And Wasted Days and Wasted Nights. Actually, the song came about before I was even born, but I do recall throughout the 70s and even into the 80s hearing that song over and over again. It was a big hit. And of course, it was a song about lost love, a song about the waste of time and energy waiting for that lost love to work out. And he just spoke of wasted days and wasted nights. And I'm not here to talk to you about love this morning. I'm certainly not here to talk to you about lost love this morning. But I do want to talk to you about wasted time. Wasted time. Have you ever looked back on a portion of your life with regret? I certainly have. Maybe we made some foolish decisions. Maybe we had some choices that we made that cost us. Perhaps it was a season of misplaced priorities that resulted in a chapter of waste in our life. And there are so many things that can hinder our progress in our Christian life and stifle our growth and even cause us to regress. And we look back now and we say, oh, I wish I could do that over. We look back and we say, I wish I could change those things. But of course we can't. We can't go back and change those things. But what we can do is we can learn. We can learn from those wasted days, and they cannot be recovered. We can't retrieve them, but we can make sure that all future waste is avoided. Our text this morning in Joel chapter 1, God speaks of a terrible plague of locusts throughout the land. Locusts had come through and they had devoured everything, and the land was laid desolate, and a whole season of crop production was lost. And we'll pick up in verse 4 of Joel chapter 1. Notice what God says. He says, that which the palmer worm hath left, hath the locust eaten. And that which the locust hath left, hath the canker worm eaten. And that which the canker worm had left, hath the caterpillar eaten. Now, he speaks of the palmer worm, the locust, the canker worm, and the caterpillar, but and we tend to think of four different species here, or four different insects, but scholars tell me that it's really speaking of the various stages of development of the same insect, okay? Kind of like a butterfly. A butterfly starts out with the egg. As an egg, that goes to a caterpillar. A caterpillar turns to a chrysalis, and then the butterfly emerges and flies about. It's kind of like that. The exact species that is being spoken of here, we don't know for sure, but it's likely similar or exactly like the locust that you and I know today. Locusts are able to come in swarms by the millions and millions and completely devour a land. Just leave it absolutely desolate. Over the course of history, there's many records of various mass invasions of locusts that just lay the land desolate. Even as recent as the 1950s, several of the Arabian nations succumbed to a overwhelming invasion of destructive locusts. Iran and Iraq and Jordan and Saudi Arabia, as I read about, were hit the worst. Every single green blade of grass, every single forb, if you will, that was green, were taken away. Thousands, hundreds of thousands of square miles were destroyed by those locusts. It's said that 10% of the world's population was affected. 20% of the world's landmass was threatened. And there was not a single thing that they could do about it, outside of pray and hope that it'll go away. You know, we don't like that. We don't like to be out of control, do we? We don't like to not be able to stop certain things in our life, and we fancy ourselves as the ones that are calling the shot, but God can show us it realistically. He can show us that there's only one that's in absolute control. He can allow things into our life. He can set things in motion that we are helpless to prevent. We just kind of got a small taste of that in 2020 with the COVID-19 pandemic. There were just some things that were out of our control, and it taught us that. But there are things in our life that we can control. There are things in our life that we can do something about. We can control our lives, how they are lived from day to day. We make the choice how our lives are lived. We make the choice of whether they are wasted or whether they are given over to production. We can make sure our days are not devoured by foolishness. We can make sure that our lives are not being laid waste by poor choices. We can make sure our lives are not desolate because of selfish decisions. Maybe you're here today and you're in the middle of one of those chapters that's just waste. Maybe you find yourself this morning and the way things are going in your life, it seems like it's going nowhere. Each day you wake up and you look back at yesterday and you see waste. You see that nothing came good of it. And today's looking no different. And tomorrow's going to be the same. And you're wondering what is going to stop all the waste. Well, maybe Joel can give us some tools to work with this morning. The first thing I want you to see is found in chapter 2 of Joel. And I want you to notice what he says in verse 12. Actually, what God says. He says, therefore also now, saith the Lord. What's this word? Turn. Turn ye even to me with all your heart and with fasting and with weeping and mourning. That word turn there means exactly what you and I know just in an elementary sense. It just means to change directions. We know if we say go up here and turn left, that means go up here and change directions to the left, okay? If God tells us that we need to turn, clearly He is telling us that the direction we are going is not right. That's the whole meaning of repentance when you think about it. Repentance is turning from the wrong way and beginning to go the right way. It's a change of mind. It's a change of heart, of course, but it's more than anything, it's a change of life. God says turn. Make changes. We can't go back and fix yesterday. We can't go recover those wasted times, but outside of making some apologies and some things like that to hopefully correct some of those things, but yesterday's in the books. We can't go back and get it. It can't be altered. But with the turning of our minds and our hearts and our lives, today's course can be altered. And tomorrow's course can be the right one. God tells us in verse 12, He says, turn. I want you to notice an important part of that verse. After He tells us to turn, He tells us to turn with weeping and mourning. This is something we don't see much of today. We don't see any kind of brokenness over our mistakes, any kind of brokenness over our sins or our ways. It seems that in today's Christianity, we're absent of any kind of remorse when we do something wrong. It's kind of like, well, I hate it that I got caught. When in actuality, it should be, I hate it that I did this in the first place. That's what God wants to hear from you and I. He wants us to say, Father, I realize what I've done. I see my foolishness. I see how I've wronged you. I don't want to ever make this mistake again. You deserve better from me, God. Essentially, it can all be wrapped up in two words. God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Those are the two words that God wants to hear. It's a huge part of repentance is saying, I'm sorry. And being sorry. And with that kind of repentance, that repentance that He speaks of here, that's with weeping and mourning, that just essentially is just true regret, true remorse over the mistakes we've made. And with that, I want you to notice what can happen to our lives. If we apply this, if we turn and we truly are broken over our mistakes, I want you to notice what can happen to our lives. In verse 25, watch this. This is amazing. I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten. Think about that for a moment. That's the most amazing thing. That's a perfect verse to remind you and I how merciful God is. He says, I will restore to you the years that the locusts have eaten. Now, is God going to go back and to those years and let us live them again? No, He's not going to do that. Is He going to go back and let us re-sow those crops and then get a harvest from them? He's not going to do that. We don't get to live those years over. But in our repentance, in our turning, He's able to honor. And He's able to reward us for that repentance in such a way that it will put the losses totally behind us. You say, how so? He can give us bumper crops going forward. He can make us so fruitful going forward that it will be as though the wasted years never happened. You see what I'm saying? That is the God we serve. That's the kind of gracious Lord, the merciful God of second chances that we serve. I want you to see verse 13. In the middle part of the verse, in chapter 2 and verse 13, he says, for He is gracious and merciful and slow to anger and of great kindness and repenteth him of evil. That last phrase, repenteth him of evil, is it simply means that he will turn the misery that we created for ourselves, the misery that is caused by our mistakes, and he'll turn it away from us. Isn't that something? If we will truly repent towards God and seek his mercy, he's not one to say, okay, I'm going to let your mistakes run their full course, and I want you to hurt. I want you to experience the consequences to the greatest degree. I want you to learn from this the hard way. That's not the God we serve. Now, are there consequences? Absolutely. But because of his mercy and our willingness to repent, God says, I am going to let you learn from this. But it's going to be a lot easier than it could have been. I'm going to be merciful. I'm going to be gracious. I'm going to let you recover some of the waste. That's so encouraging to me this morning. I hope that gives you hope this morning, because God has good things for repentant hearts. God has blessings for those who turn. God has rewards, if you will, for those who will get off the wrong path and turn and get on the right path. Folks, that's a truth that we should never lose sight of. I want to spend our last moments here. We're going to get out early today. Landon cut us a little short, and this is actually going to be cut a little bit short. In fact, let's just dismiss right now. No, you're not getting off that easy, but let me just finish up with a couple of thoughts here, okay? I want to mention two obvious areas of waste. Number one, the years that are lived without the Lord are wasted years. Folks, I'm so very thankful that I came to know the Lord Jesus at the age of 21. But I regret that it didn't happen sooner. I wish I had not wasted so many of my younger years in foolishness. I wish that Trish and I's first 3 years together would have been spent as believers instead of lost people. I wish that I could go back and fix the things that I did to hurt people and wrong people. I wish that my grandma and grandpa that helped raise me could have lived long enough to see my Christian life. That can't be changed. That can't be, that chapter is in the book. It can't be retrieved. But what I can do is, going forward, I can tell people, you don't want to waste your time. You don't know what you're missing. You need the Lord in your life. Maybe you're here this morning and you're within the sound of my voice, or we have so many people that follow us live stream and all that. Maybe you're within the sound of my voice this morning and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's not your Savior, and you know that. Let me just, hear me out. I don't care how good your life is. I don't care how bright your future is. If you continue forward without the Lord, you're wasting your time. You're wasting your time. Your days are being devoured. Your life is being left desolate. I know those are very strong words, but the reality of it is they're very accurate words from a spiritual standpoint. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16, verse 26, he says, what is a man profiteth if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? That word, that verse has two words in there that's worth noting: profit and loss. Profit means something gained. Loss means something wasted. So Jesus in that verse is simply saying, if you go through life without me, no matter how well you live, there's no profit to it. It's all waste. Nothing gained. It's all waste. You say, maybe you're here, you're hearing me and you're saying, my life is no profit. I'm a rich man, or I'm a rich woman, or I have this job and my position is this in life, and I have these kids that have accomplished all these things, and my checking account has so much, and I have built so much in my life. It's not a waste. There is profit to it. But I say to you, I'm not aiming to insult you this morning. I'm certainly not here to be critical of you this morning. But from a temporal standpoint and from a human standpoint, your life might be the creme de la creme. It might be the cream of the crop. It might be the best. But in that verse that I just read to you, Jesus is talking from an eternal standpoint. And he says, to lose your own soul, no matter how much worldly gain you've made, it's ultimately a waste. Because friends, for you and I to step into eternity without the Lord as our Savior is an absolute waste that doesn't have to happen. Let me leave you with one more area of waste that can happen in a life. It's when we do know the Lord Jesus Christ, but we don't live for Him. That's a waste. Our soul is saved, but our life is not in service. That's a waste. Tremendous waste. Granted, yes, we've got eternal life, and yes, our souls are secured in the Lord, and we're going to go to heaven someday and all that, but if we don't live like it, we're living a divided life. We're being pulled in two directions. James chapter 1 and verse 8 says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. It's just simply saying a divided man, a person, a man, woman, child, whatever, that is divided in their life. One part of them wants to go with the world. The other part of them wants to say they belong to the Lord. And he says, it's unstable. It's restlessness. And I'm going to tell you something. Christians who are not serving the Lord, and I've been there, okay, are restless creatures. With 22 years of pastoring under my belt, I can read people fairly well. I can pick up on things in people that cause alarm. Red flags, if you will. Maybe it's someone who was once devoted to the Lord and devoted to the church, and they start getting away. There's an alarm. I pick up on it. Not that I'm anything special, but I'm called to be a pastor, okay? And it starts out very slow and subtle, but if it's not corrected, it becomes very fast and obvious. And then everybody else starts picking up on it. And I try to check on them. You know, as a pastor, I do. It's a balancing act. You've got to understand that as a pastor. It's quite a balancing act because there's a part of you that you don't want to come on too strong. You don't want to badger people. But then on the other side of it, you sure don't want to let them go. It's a hard thing to keep in balance. The one thing I know is if we're in that position I'm speaking about and we don't get it straight and corrected, it will not be long. Our lives will become a spiritual waste. In a Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, Jesus says, no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will hold to the one and despise the other. You know what Jesus is saying very clearly here? He's saying, you're not able to live for me and live for the world also at the same time. It'll never work out. It's a waste. One particular person comes to my mind right now, and he's not here, he's in heaven. But as a pastor, I watched helplessly as he drifted from his devotion to the Lord. He drifted from his involvement and his commitment to the Lord's church. And folks, when we start moving away from God, it's a very slippery slope. The thing I've learned about slipping is we never go up when we slip, do we? We always slip down. You never hear of anybody saying, oh, I slipped and rose. No, you say, I slipped and fell. You always go down when you slip. And so he was slipping, and he was slipping, and he was slipping. I tried to give him my hand to help him up. He wouldn't. Many other people that loved him around him tried to give him a hand, help him up, but he wouldn't. But all we could do is watch the waste until God finally took him out of here. Now the question is, did he go to heaven? Absolutely. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, I'm convinced based on the fruit that I saw in his life earlier that he was a born-again Christian and he belonged to God. But towards the end, there was a lot of waste. And I truly believe if that person was here right now, he would not take offense to me telling you his story. But he would be glad to hopefully help somebody not make the same mistakes and waste parts of their life. Conversations between he and I took place in his last days here on earth, on his deathbed, so to speak, if you will. And those conversations revealed that he recognized the problem. And I truly believe that if he could have recovered, I truly believe that if he had walked out of that hospital, he would have corrected those mistakes. But he didn't get that chance. Now, do I mean to paint a very bleak picture for you and I this morning? Do I mean to book a guilt trip for you? No, I'm not at all saying that. I'm here to tell you the truth. And I'm trying to help you see that we do not want to waste the last chapters of our life or any chapters of our life. Am I saying that God, if we don't turn back or if we don't get it corrected, that God's going to take us out of here? And I'm not saying that at all. But I am saying this, there can be a point in our life where we look back and say, man, I wish I had not wasted that. I wish I had corrected it when I had a chance. You say this morning, you say, preacher, what do I do? You're on the wrong track, perhaps. You know the Lord, but you haven't been living for Him. You're on the wrong track. And you realize it this morning, you say, preacher, what do I do? Remember God said in verse 12, turn. Turn. Right now. You turn from the wrong path and you get on the right path. That's what true repentance is. And our gracious God, as we already have learned, will restore unto us, as He said, what the locusts have eaten. Not going to let us go back and plant the crops and reharvest, but He will give us bumper crops going forward to the point that we'll look back someday and say, that chapter is behind me, I learned from it, and I'm no longer wasting my life. Folks, I can't make that turn for you. You can't make it for me. The fact is God won't make that turn for us. He tells us to make it ourselves. He wants us to make it ourselves. He wants us to make a choice, saying, I am going to, with tears and mourning, if you will, with a broken heart, I am going to acknowledge what I've done wrong or what I'm doing wrong or whatever. And God, I'm going to say to you, I'm sorry. Two words, that's all it takes. I'm sorry. And that turning will bring blessings to your life. I'm going to ask you to stand as our musicians come. Folks, for the next few moments, maybe you're here this morning, as often is the case, and you don't know the Lord yet. You have not been saved. You've never given your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't know what it means. And folks, I'm going to tell you, I would love to share with you in a few moments what it means to call upon the Lord and become a Christian. We're going to baptize Javier in just a moment. He accepted the Lord at camp, and he's going to follow in believer's baptism. You can do the same thing. It's your decision this morning. As we have a verse of invitation, I'll be here in front if somebody wants me to pray with them, wants me to talk with them, whatever the case may be. If God's spoken to your heart about anything, you're welcome to these altars. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, before me, the world behind me, the cross before me, no turning back, no turning back. Will none go with me, still I will follow. Jesus, will you go with me? Jesus, you go with me to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. I decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back.